Hi, I'm Mel Majeros. I am a four-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Talking today to a good friend of mine, Betsy DePerry. She is a cancer survivor like me, and we're going to turn the tables just a little bit today. How are you today, Betsy?
I'm great, Mel. How are you?
Great. So we were talking about this, I think probably during when we were filming the CBS, Cancer Chemo Brain.
PBS.
CBS would have been sweet, too, if you're listening. Les Moonves. PBS series, A Wider World, to talk about maybe you turning the tables on me and talking to me about my cancer experience. So I think that's what we're going to do. But first, let's find out a little bit about you.
Well, as you mentioned, Mel, I am a cancer survivor, specifically of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. I'm actually a 10-year survivor.
Yay!
And, yes, yay. And I want to thank you so much for driving all the way down from Traverse City to Ann Arbor to film the segment that you did for the show A Wider World.
Road trip.
We've gotten a lot of comments about it, and your candor is just stupendous.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it really makes a difference in people's lives. So I'm really happy to be here with you and, you know, want to talk to you a little bit more about your experience and kind of delve into it a little bit deeper than we were able to do on the show.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, Betsy. So ask away.
Well, first of all, before we get into the feelings that you had post-treatment, tell me a little bit about how you were diagnosed and what you went through. What was your experience?
Well, as everybody knows, I'm a big hockey fan, so I found the lump myself. I had a couple biopsies, and I had just found a primary care physician, and I believe I had my biopsy on a Thursday. And that was all during Red Wings training camp. That's where the hockey comes in. So on Tuesday, I'd called in, and that was the last day of Red Wings training camp, and I called my primary care physician, and I asked the nurse, I said, so it's Tuesday. You said I'd have my results back now. And she said, I'm sorry, we don't. And not 2 minutes later, the doctor called and said, we have your test results. How soon can you be here? So
That's never a good,
you know, they never just want to see you because it's like, oh, yeah, my kid has extra brownies for the bake sale or, you know, how's it going? Let's sit and chat. It's lunchtime. No, because immediately I knew it was bad and I, you know, expletive, it's cancer. Let's just say that bleep, it's cancer. And quite honestly, I don't remember the car ride there, but I remember getting there. And at the time, my then boyfriend, now fiance, went to bed when I left for work, which was at 5 o'clock, and he has his own medical issues, so he takes medication for sleeping. So she's like, are you sure you don't want to call your boyfriend? And I'm like, I know he's not going to answer the phone. It's like, you know, noon. He just went to bed like a couple hours ago, whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, just tell me. And she's like, it's cancer. And then it sounded like the Peanuts voices. And, you know, it was, I mean, she was very nice, but I think since we didn't really know each other that well, it was very hard for both of us, and I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had my physical was scheduled for the following day, and I remember just sitting there, and I'm like, well, do I have to go to that? And she's like, yes.
So you went through treatment for how long?
I went through treatment from November of 2000. Actually, I had my surgery in October of 2007, started treatment in November of 2007, and I believe I ended Herceptin in December of 2008.
So when treatment was over, if I understand this correctly, you, like many of us, we slog through treatment.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, we sort of fall apart. it seems to be the most vulnerable time for so many of us, simply because I think we have a moment to step back and process what just happened to us. Was that sort of what happened to you?
It was, because, you know, when you're in treatment, like Herceptin was just, we call it like chemo light, so that wasn't that bad. But the main course of treatment, which was chemo for like 16 rounds and then radiation, and then I went back to work, I believe, in July of 2008. You're in that treatment, you're in that bubble, so everyone's like making sure you're doing fine and blah, blah, blah. And then when you're done with that, they figure, well, you're done with treatment, so, you know, you'll have your checkups every 3 months, but they don't really tell you how to, like, jump back into society and deal with what they call the new normal. Right. So here, everyone is happy to see you and happy that you're back, but, you know, most chances are you're bald and you're skinny and you don't look like you and you don't feel like you, and your skin still feels, you know, scaly and weird from the chemo. And when people say, man, you look great, and you kind of look behind you like, are they talking about me? Because there's no way in hell that they're talking about me, because I don't look like what I used to and I don't feel like what I used to. And chances are, if you are working at a job that I was working at the radio station here, but I was also a server, so I couldn't really serve because of the surgery to my breast. So I couldn't do what I was doing before. So it was just like a whole, basically, a snowball effect of, you know, people saying all these things. And I'm like, and then you just wonder, it's like, well, you don't want to talk to people who haven't had cancer because they don't understand. And at the time, I guess Facebook was in existence, but I didn't really know about it. And they had some non-live chat forums that you could join, but it wasn't like an immediate thing where you could be like, oh my God, this really sucks and I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you kind of have to wait for someone to respond.
Right.
Yep. You know?
And you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs and feeling really blue or depressed or, you know, whatever the feeling is at the moment.
Right. And I do have to say, and it was not a good experience for me, and I won't say what the name of the organization is. There are some, at least I know of one, there are some online chat groups that are live out there. And this one didn't help me, because at the time I was just super angry and I didn't know how to vent it and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I actually got kicked out of an online support group because I was too angry and controlling.
Oops. Oh, shame on you.
I know, right?
Right.
And then ironically, and if you read my blog, it'll say who it is, but I'm not going to say it on the air, because they do good stuff for a lot of people. And just because an organization doesn't do good for me, I'm not going to, like, you know, badmouth them and say, don't go there, blah, blah, blah. But,
you know, I think you bring up a good point, if I can just jump in here.
Of course.
That when you're looking to find a group, the ones that I've seen over all these years, all of them sort of have their own personalities.
Right.
So to speak. And, you know, for people who are out there who may be new to this process, I would kind of recommend, find a group. You don't have to step in. There's so many of them online now. But you can lurk. You can watch. You can read what people are saying. You know, I've seen groups that, you know, I think people have nothing more to do than to stay in these groups and whine.
And mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say that, because we all are entitled to whine sometimes when we have cancer.
Absolutely.
I mean, we earned it. So I don't mean that in a derogatory way. But there are other groups out there who are really more, I would say,
better,
more helpful in pointing you to resources or finding answers.
Right.
So it depends on everybody's needs. And, you know, I think it's just a point of, you may not find what you're looking for in the first group that you join. But keep looking.
Right.
You know, connecting with other survivors, and you said this on your tape, is so important. Nobody understands like another survivor.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be the same kind of cancer that you have.
It doesn't.
I mean, I know, as well as you, a lot of cancer survivors who have extremely rare cancers that I can't pronounce or never heard of.
Exactly.
But we all have the same, side effects. We all go through the same things. I mean, when someone told me when I was, like, super depressed and I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I finally told a survivor about it, they're like, well, we all feel that way. And you're like, and I was, you know, it was kind of like the, you know, if it was a movie, the light would have shone down from heaven and you would have heard the choirs go, oh,
right.
You know, I mean, it was just like, really? What? Because I mean, when you're depressed and you're alone and you feel like that, you think that there's absolutely no one else in the world that can help you.
That, well, the other thing, too, is you feel like there's absolutely no one else in the world who feels the way you do.
Exactly.
And you feel so alone. I mean, the fact of the matter is, cancer can be very lonely.
Yes.
And, you know, we may have wonderful friends, we may have very supportive families, but the fact is, we have the cancer.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of go back to nobody can understand it like somebody who's walked in those shoes.
Exactly.
And, you know, I found over the years, I've had to chuckle that, you know, so many of us share the most intimate details of our lives with almost perfect strangers.
Yes.
And yet we understand each other.
Exactly.
We get it. And, you know, there are just so many places to go now for help. And I think one of the things that was so important that you shared was your honesty about it. You know, you're completely candid about this. And so many people are so afraid to just basically say, I need help.
Right.
And another thing that you mentioned on the video was that you slid into this without realizing it.
Oh, yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you kind of ignore, like, the symptoms because you always see, like, those commercials on TV where they're like, oh, well, you know, your moods may worsen and blah, blah, blah. And you don't really notice, like, it just seems like it's just a slow downward spiral until, like, you're at work and you're just like, I don't want to be here and I'm just going to do, like, the bare minimum and get out and all I want to do is sleep. And you just think, well, you know, you're a cancer patient, so maybe you just think it's just residual fatigue. But, you know, I remember I got to the point where it was so bad. I was sitting in my doctor's office, the one who diagnosed me. And, you know, we've become, I don't want to say friends, but good acquaintances, like, because I live in a small town. So outside of work, I see her a lot. And even she knew that something was wrong because I was very quiet and I wasn't, you know, cracking the jokes that I usually crack. And I was just like, I need help. I can't do this anymore. I can't pretend. I can't put on a happy face and go into work and, you know, pretend that I'm happy when put a smile on the outside when inside I was just feeling awful.
You know, one of the ways that I have said this is that, and you're bringing this up, is that we go back to our normal lives, but it's like being in a world that's familiar, but we feel like strangers in that world.
Yes.
We just don't fit there anymore.
Well, for us, time stopped and everything else went on.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It's
almost like we're pressing our noses against the glass
and
looking at the normal world, but we can't get through that glass.
Exactly. And you think when, especially I did when, like, I was talking on A Wider World, I always thought it's like, man, if I talk to my friend Heather at work, who would never think this, it's like, if I complain about my cancer one more time, she's going to be like, every time I go to her office, she'll be like, oh God, there's cancer girl. I don't want to hear about what she has to say, which, you know, obviously is not the case. I mean, everybody has their problems, whether you have cancer or not. It could be your car broke down or you're having problems with your boyfriend or your job or whatever. And you kind of forget that when you're depressed. It's just like you think, well, nobody wants to hear my problems because everyone else has problems, too. But, you know, in reality, I can't think of one person, even if I've never met them online, if they just came up to me and said, hey, I read your blog. Do you have, you know, 5 minutes to talk? I mean, literally, here's something that I did that was, I don't want to say it's kind of crazy, but it's just kind of the way I am. I have a friend of mine who's in Germany. And she was all upset about something, and she was in the hospital in Germany. And I think I spent like 3 hours at work trying to figure out what hospital she was in Germany. Now, I've never been outside of North America. So here I am trying to figure out through Google, of all things.
Aww.
You know, trying to be like, well, I guess if I call the hospital and ask for her, will they know English? Will I even be able to talk, you know? And it was just that kind of thing. It's like, well, she's upset and I don't know what to do now. She's not talking on Facebook, so... I mean, there may not be people who go to the extreme like I do, just because that's the way I am, but there's always somebody out there who'll talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of call it club camaraderie.
Yes.
You know, I think it's another thing. I think that so many people are sort of put off by the term support groups.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I certainly was because, oh, my gosh, I am woman. Hear me roar. Do I need support? Absolutely not. But what I found out that it really is more of a club camaraderie.
Yes.
So that's kind of how I think of it.
Well, and the other thing with support groups, you never think, well, asking for help is a sign of failure. It's a sign
absolutely
of weakness.
Absolutely not.
And honestly, it's a sign of strength now, but I mean, literally, it got so bad. I mean, I was just like, it had gotten so bad that as soon as my doctor, and like I tell people, I'm on antidepressants, you know, may not work for everybody. Support groups, Facebook, maybe just what you need. Talk to your doctor or whoever. But as soon as I started, not as soon as, but once they started working, I was just like, why the hell did I wait so long? Why did I wait 6 months for me to just like, you know, keep going and going and a little bit, you know, I don't want, I'm making like the tornado, like just like going downward spiral. So.
Well, you know, I think another thing that Dr. Reba points out on the video that you did with her, mm-hmm. and for anybody who's listening, Dr. Reber is chair of the University of Michigan Comprehensive Cancer Center Psych Oncology Program, and she's just a wonderful lady. I love Dr. Reba, but she points out, you know, that the drugs that we take for cancer treatment can alter the chemistry of our bodies.
Oh yes.
So it's, I kind of like to think of the emotional aspects of cancer as a side effect. And I can't tell you the number of people that I've said, look, you know, think of the emotional issues as a side effect.
Yes.
You wouldn't turn down medications for nausea, would you? So
no.
Why would you turn down medications for, you know, a brain chemistry imbalance that could make you feel better?
Well,
and when you kind of put it in that in those terms, a lot of people, sort of, it's like the light bulb goes off and they go, oh yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Well, and there's so much stigma attached to it. I mean, on my show earlier in the year, or not earlier this year, but late last year, I had someone from Bring Change to Mind, which is Glenn Close's organization,
right,
to combat stigma against mental illnesses, which I don't like that term either, but you know, I mean, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about my depression. If it helps one person, you know, that's fine. Because I know it took me 6 months to talk about my cancer, and now I won't shut up about it. And I know that as you the same way, but there are some people who don't want to talk about it. And maybe, you know, if they listen to the show or watch A Wider World and say, oh, that's me, I can get help.
Right.
I mean, I believe that's why we're here.
Absolutely. You know, and like you, I mean, when I was diagnosed 10 years ago, Facebook didn't even exist.
Right.
There were some support groups out there online, but, you know, what I saw, I was convinced that I was going to die the next day,
well,
if not
yes.
sooner. So I just got off of those. They were really depressing. But I think that so many people are so busy dealing with treatment, financial issues. How am I going to get my kids to school when I've got to go to a chemo treatment? There are just so many, you know, day-to-day issues that we have to deal with that the emotional issues kind of get put to the back burner. And sometimes after treatment, you know, as we kind of come full circle back to that, it's like, what just happened?
Exactly.
And we don't really know how to deal with it. So what are some suggestions that you have?
Well, I would say definitely if you need to talk to somebody, whether it be a social worker at your hospital or a therapist or psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever, fill in the blank, definitely talk to them. I would find another survivor to talk to. A great resource is obviously Facebook. If you're a young adult survivor, Stupid Cancer is one of my favorite organizations. Immerman Angels
is another. Yeah.
Is another one. He'll actually find somebody who has the exact same cancer you do, whether it's here in the States or in China. I mean, he's hooked
Absolutely.
Up people all over the world.
Right.
And, you know,
just say that again for people.
Oh,
and if you have websites handy.
Oh, absolutely. StupidCancer.com. My love for Matt Zachary knows no bounds. It's the only, I'd say it's the only resource for young adult cancer survivors between
absolutely.
15 and 40. And Immermansangels.com and probably .org.
Right.
And like I said, they will hook you up with a cancer survivor who has the same, I mean, Johnny will go to extra lengths to find you that survivor. And it may not be the same age as you, but like we said, survivors, I believe survivors of all ages have the same issues. But I personally think it'd be better to find somebody closer to your own age. Because that way,
well, that, you know, that's true. If you can do it,
well, if you're younger, just because you have like the issues with your kids and the issues
right,
with your
absolutely.
Sex life, and you know, I mean, some of the support groups I had, everyone was in their 60s and they're talking about their grandkids, and I'm like, I can't relate to these people.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and we have a lot of common threads
yes.
that run through all of our stories, but. You know, you're right that age does make a difference.
And if you can convince, like, my hospital is just starting now to work on survivorship issues. And if you can, you know, talk to someone in your oncology department and say, we need some kind of survivorship support here. Because basically, you know, like I said, love my hospital, got treated. But they, I think as far as financially, they're not going to make any money off of me, my survivorship.
Right.
They'll make money off of me taking tamoxifen and me getting the blood draw and seeing the doctor every 6 months. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing against my hospital or any other. That's just the bottom line.
Well, yeah. I mean, the hospital's function is to really treat the cancer.
Right.
It's up to us to almost go out and seek the help that we need for the rest of it.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's a social worker helping us figure out some financial resources or other survivors or psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever it is to deal with the emotional issues. So
it's hard. It's hard getting back to what we call real life. Like you said, you do feel like you're pressed up against the window.
You do.
You know.
You really do. But, you know, I think for anybody who's listening, as somebody who has been a long-term survivor,
yes,
I can say that eventually cancer isn't the first thing that you think about in the morning nor the last thing you think about at night. But it's, you know, recovery just takes time.
It does, and I think
it really just takes time.
I think that's the hardest thing for survivors because they think, okay, I don't think, and Stupid Cancer and Immortal Angels, and of course Livestrong does a great job of this, trying to explain that, look, once you're done with treatment, you're not done.
Right.
There is survivorship and,
right.
and dealing with everything else. And I think it's hard because I know that even I, it's like, okay, well, I feel good today. But then the next day you might feel like crap. And then you're like,
right.
what the hell? You know, I should be better now. But sometimes it takes years to get all those chemicals out of your system. And, you know, some days I still feel tired and it might just be my thyroid. It might just be that I, you know, push myself too hard, or it might just be residual
effects.
Maybe
you're just catching up to me in age.
There you go. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Okay, we're done now. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it could be I'm getting old, and that's true. You know, but it's hard when you finally feel back to normal, and then
you backslide.
Yeah, you backslide, and it's like, it's not your fault, and that's what's frustrating. It's like, well, I feel good today, but then again, I mean, obviously you don't know what's going on inside your body, and you have to, like you said before, you have to be patient,
well,
which is the hardest thing.
It's very hard. And, I, you know, recovery does not come neatly wrapped. It's not a straight line.
No. And it's different for everyone.
It is absolutely different for everyone. And I think one of the things that I think I would really stress, and I'm sure you've seen this too in all the work that you've done, is just because you started out being diagnosed as the world's most positive person doesn't mean that you're not susceptible to depression.
Oh, absolutely.
At some point during treatment or when it's over. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether you're a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person. This can happen to anybody.
Exactly. I agree. And I never thought it would happen to me. You know, it's always like those other people. Other people get cancer. Other people get depressed. It doesn't happen
right.
to me. It's like, well, once you have cancer, I think you'd automatically become, you know, those other people.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Well,
you know.
You do. And you're really susceptible to it. I mean, the fact of the matter, anything can trigger anxiety, depression.
Oh, yes.
You know, whatever you want to attach a word to, a negative or a, not a negative, but a sensitive emotion that makes us sad or angry or upset.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a wide variety of issues that come with all of this. But again, the point of it is, I think, to really get the help that you need. And, you know, start by reaching out to other survivors. Nobody knows this like we do.
Right. And nobody knows you like you do. If you think, absolutely, well, there's something wrong, I mean, talk to your doctor. They're not, I mean, if you think your doctor is just kind of blowing you off, even if you feel really bad, and I always say change your doctor, because you're not going to take your car to the same shop that, you know, they fix your brakes kind of okay, but not exactly, you know, 100%. Chances are you're not going to go back there and be like, oh, yeah, here, my, right, this is, you know, my steering's out. Can you fix it? Because, you know, there's only one you, and we want you around for as long as we can.
You know, there's another, some of the larger hospitals also have symptom management clinics, and that can cover some of the emotional side effects as well.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, they're not in a lot of the smaller hospitals yet. But my point with saying that is that your oncologist really is there to treat your cancer, and he's,
right,
you know, he's not trained as a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a social worker. So sometimes you really do have to just step outside of that venue,
right,
and find what you need elsewhere. I mean, it's not like you would go to a psychiatrist for treatment for your cancer.
Exactly,
so kind
exactly.
Of the flip side of it. You know, Mel, you've got two more shows coming up.
I'm excited.
I know, and they're wonderful, and the one that is going to be up, that's the third show that you did, is about cancer etiquette. And that one I absolutely love. You and I have talked about this. I mean, so many people say the wrong things.
With the best intentions.
With the best intentions, absolutely. But it's because they don't know what to say.
Right.
So that's going to be a great show coming up, and I hope people will really watch that. I know that you'll get it out there to all your fans.
Oh, absolutely. And I just have to say, when somebody has cancer, I think the main thing to treat people is exactly how you would have treated them before. Unless you kind of, like, feel the cues that they want. I mean, obviously be sympathetic, but don't be like, oh, poor you. But, you know, like we said on the show, there are so many times where I just wish someone would be like, hey, Mel, what's up?
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Sweet. I mean, that would, you know, it's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Well, know? Exactly. And, you know, so many people, as we said, don't know what to say or do. So they say something that's stupid. It's like, okay, well, you know, this is a good cancer to get. Really? Really?
It's the best one to get. That's what I've heard.
To get? How would you feel if you had cancer?
Yeah.
Would this be good? No. So, you know, but that's something a lot of people say. Well, you know, you could get hit by a bus. Really? Well, far more people get cancer than get hit by a bus every day.
Right. And if I get hit by a bus while I'm getting treatment for cancer, then I think I'm, you know, ticking off somebody, and you know, upstairs. So.
Yeah, really. So one thing, where are you going to be posting your shows, Mel?
Oh, I post them pretty much everywhere. I'd actually posted that show on my blog.
Okay.
And we'll get to those in a second, because we're almost running out of time. I post them. I haven't posted on Empower Radio Facebook yet. I have posted it on my Facebook page and the Cancer Warrior Facebook page, and I'm extremely lacking on my actual website, but and you can also look on YouTube for A Wider World, which is their YouTube page. And you post them as well.
Well, I do. And I was going to say that if anybody wants to watch these shows, I have them all collected in one website, which is called CandidCancer.com.
Excellent.
And that Candid Cancer is the name of the segments that aired on The Wider World. So we just created a website where we could sort of house these segments. And so they'll be there in perpetuity, and anybody can watch the indomitable cancer warrior. And I hope they do. I've gotten some emails, Mel, from people who have said that your show really helped them.
Oh,
and
good.
Again, I go back to your candor, your honesty about this really touches people. You know, there are not a lot of people who are willing to really be as open about the emotional issues.
But that's okay.
as you are, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just let people know, or by talking about it, you're letting people know that they really aren't alone, that there's help out there.
Exactly.
You know, there are lots of people out there, you, me, millions of others. Our hands are extended.
Exactly.
We'll pull you along if you give us a chance.
And we are out of time, unbelievably. The half hour goes so quickly. Thank you so much, Betsy, for joining
us. Thank you, Mel.
Hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is The Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie, Mel Majoros. Become a fan of The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com, on Facebook. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.